What's up, y'all, and welcome back from the long weekend to all of our American Gisters. Today is Thursday, January 19th, and you're listening to The Gist of It. We're your co-hosts. I'm Ellen Hislop.
And I'm Steph Rott.
And I am so excited to be back here, Steph, after being away last week. And we're excited to be here after taking an episode off, especially because the sports world has truly been bringing the chaos over the last few days. We'll start today's episode off with some spicy news out of the WNBA. The wheeling and dealing is well underway with the blockbuster trade done earlier this week, and there are still many more dominoes to fall over the next couple of weeks as teams are shaking and baking and changing things up. We love all of this hot gossip. I'm obsessed with it.
Also love the reference to shake and bake right there.
Shake and bake, baby. Shake and bake.
I love trade rumors. I love gossip. I love all of it. So I can't wait to discuss all of the trade rumors, all of the trades that have already gone down, and daydream about my potential New York Liberty super team.
Right.
So got that to look forward to today.
Right.
Then after the break, we'll take you into the weekend with an NFL divisional round preview before the 8 remaining teams continue their quest for the Lombardi Trophy.
Da-da-da-da.
Speaking of trophies, no, that doesn't work. But Ellen, my dear sweet Ellen, I did see on the internet, on the World Wide Web, that you are wearing a boot again on your foot, one of those injured boots. What's going on over there?
Yes, I'll finish the transition for you. Be winning a trophy again. Speaking of trophy, that's something I'll never win again. Yes, for anyone listening that has followed my injury trauma, I'd say since May 2021 when I tore my left Achilles playing soccer, I tore my right Achilles over the weekend playing pickleball with my mom.
Stop.
I wish that it was something cooler. This was with my mother playing pickleball with one of her best friends and her best friend's daughter. And I had warmed up and everything. Everything was fine. We already had a game under our belt. We're midway through the second game. And all of a sudden, it just went poof. Like, you hear it, right? So I went poof, and I just fell to the ground. And literally, the first thing out of my mouth was, "Mom, I just tore my Achilles." And she was like, "Ellen!"
Oh my God.
And yeah, so a little frustrating.
Playing the up-and-coming sport pickleball and everything. Your mom is jacked, though.
My mom is jacked.
I need everyone to know that.
Yeah, my mom is jacked. Picture her just slamming that pickleball at everybody else. Yeah, so it wasn't great, and really starting 2023 off with a literal bang and a noise that I truly never want to hear again. But, you know, at the same time, I know what I'm getting myself into this time. I've already got everything laid out in the calendar in terms of what I need to be marching towards every single week and the progress that I need to be seeing. At least this time it's January versus May. Like, May, I had so much FOMO because I was basically going to be in a boot for the majority of the summer and learning how to walk again in the summer, versus this time I'm like, I'm going to be in my boot for January, February, and halfway through March, but who does anything during those months anyway? And I have no travel or anything. The hardest part is, I don't know if gisters know this, but I'm getting married in May. So Now I'm like, oh shit, I got to change my dress. I'm not going to be able to wear heels. Might have to rock the boot when we're at the dance part of the wedding. So the goal is obviously to be able to like walk as soon as possible, but it's just a little bit frustrating with that like wedding, of course, added in. But I'll be good by the summer, and I'll be good to play golf and cycle and swim again. But I'm retiring from sports, which is sad, but I'm over this.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Steph. I mean, obviously something's going on. Like, yeah, there's something with my body. Like, this is so weird for an active 30-year-old woman.
Yeah, you're
to be
young.
Having back-to-back Achilles surgeries. So if we have any physio folks listening, any doctor folks listening, anyone who has any insight on this, hit us up on Twitter at TheGistPod. Hit me up on Instagram, Ellen at TheGist. Any and all help on figuring out why this is happening to me would be great.
Oh, my poor Ellen. I'm so sorry. Didn't you already have to wear like sneakers under a long dress as a bridesmaid?
I actually had to wear a boot at the wedding. Walking down the aisle, which was on the beach, in my boot. I do have to say, though, the boot is a hit at weddings. Like, there is nothing like the boot on the dance floor at the wedding. There's some interesting moves that I'm able to bring out that with a functioning leg, I'm not able to. So watch out, Steph. You could be seeing some fun stuff on the dance floor.
You should bring it out and have everyone sign it.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. I honestly should. That's instead of a guest book.
Yeah.
Everyone's just signing my boot. That's kind of gross, but I am also into it at the same time. But anyway, all to say, I'm going to be progressing every single week. I'm going to be on my duff for a long time here. So any Netflix recos, hit me up. Any books, hit me up. Puzzles. But I'll also just be dedicating my time to the gist even more. So it works out. I'm in a good headspace. I was really sad on Saturday. I cried a lot. But now I'm in a really good headspace. And it just is what it is. And I feel like I'm just settling back into my normal routine. It's weird.
I'm going to mail you Christine Sinclair's book. Something.
Oh, yes.
You.
Please do. That would be great. Anyway, on to more exciting things. Women's basketball and football. Let's get to it. All right, gang. We're all going to be channeling our inner detectives with our red string and poster board because it's time to chat about the WNBA trade rumors. I do want to mention there's been a lot of NBA trade rumblings as well, but their deadline is still a few weeks away on February 9th. So we're going to focus on the W today, although people think LeBron James might even be on the move from the LA Lakers to even a place like the Philadelphia 76ers. So LeBron is a major topic. Freddie VanVleet is a major topic. Jake Crowder. So we'll get into that. But we'll focus on the W because there's already been a league-altering move, which we alluded to already. Free agency is barely underway, but the New York Liberty might have already won the offseason. The internet went bananas this weekend when news broke that 2021 MVP and four-time All-Star and my girl, Jonquel Jones, was being traded from the Connecticut Sun to the New York Liberty as part of a three-team deal with the Dallas Wings. The trade sent New York's 2023 number 6 draft pick, as well as Rebecca Allen, to the Sun, who also picked up Tyesha Harris from the Wings. As for Dallas, they traded Kayla Thornton to New York while picking up two-time All-Star Natasha Howard and 2020 Rookie of the Year Crystal Dangerfield. So many moving parts just to get Jonquel Jones. And I gotta say, I think that this is the smartest thing that New York has done. And now, Steph, because I'm less of a team person, I'd say, in the W and more of a player person in the Same. W. And I love Jonquel and I love Natasha Cloud. So now we have a similar team.
I know. I'm New York by default because it's like the only one I can like realistically get to via where I live to watch a game. So that's my 2023 summer goal, is to go to New York and watch a game. Maybe
let's get you a media pass, baby. We'll get you there.
I am a bit sad to see, and not a bit sad, I am sad to see Natasha Howard go from New York Liberty because she's amazing. There are, of course, so many moving parts going on here, but let's get back to the Jonquel news specifically here. I'm already picturing her playing with Sabrina Ionescu, and I'm just getting so excited for summer 2023. It's a good time to be a Liberty fan or to be, you know, adjacent to New York. This deal alone immediately puts New York in championship contention. And what's even scarier is that they might not be done yet. There are a bunch of big names up for free agency this year, but the biggest among them is Breanna Stewart, who most recently played for the Seattle Storm. Stewie made her own shockwaves earlier this week when she posted a pretty cryptic emoji-filled tweet shortly following the news of Jones's deal, prompting many to speculate it could be an indicator of where she might be signing. For additional context, Stewart is from the state of New York and had already been previously linked to the Liberty because last year she had a meeting with them, so there's that. But, you know, it's a really cryptic tweet. I don't really know what to make of it. There's a lot of speculation online, so it's hard to decode.
You know what I loved about it? Immediately, so many W fans, but particularly the women W fans who are just so good at being detectives at every single thing. Like, you know how we all are. Have an ex-boyfriend who did this and his first name is John. Oh, no problem. Just found him. This is where he's actually living right now and how he takes his coffee. Like, he immediately... Everyone dove into what Stewie's tweet meant. And the tweet, just for reference here, had a trophy, a baby bottle, an airplane, a house, money, basketball, a wave, an equal sign, a cheetah, an alligator, a construction thing, a plug. I don't know what that M thing is. It looks Virgo. Like a Virgo. Pause. And a piece of paper. And somehow people are getting out of that that she might be coming to New York, which I just think is hilarious. I literally, Robin Pearson, our senior social media producer, who is also so into the W, was like, oh my God, guys, and sent this tweet through. And I was like, could you tell me what's oh my God about this? Like, I just did not understand it. And she decoded it for us. And could be New York.
Concrete jungle is what people are saying. The construction crane are with the cheetah.
What's the wave?
The waving Seattle
goodbye
storm.
To Seattle.
I don't know. I honestly think she's just messing with us. I think she knows she's like Hot Topic, and she's like, imagine she just opened her phone and went to all of her recently used emojis and just like,
oh my
god, a tweet, and then like people are gonna love this. Imagine.
Genius. Did she do that, or did her PR person? Either way, whoever
did
this,
you know what I mean.
Genius. We live for the chaos. So good for her. Like, thank you, Stewie, for bringing the heat this offseason. There is also another big name being floated in connection with the Liberty. Our pal, Howard Magdal, who has his own newsletter but also works for Forbes, reported on Tuesday that there's mutual interest between New York and four-time All-Star Courtney Vandersloot. So Courtney Vandersloot currently plays for the Chicago Sky. If they actually pull this off, this team is going to be terrifying.
I am a bit curious, though, because Allie Quigley and Courtney Vandersloot are, of course, married, and they both are currently on the Chicago Sky together. And so I'm wondering what's going to happen with the Quigley-Vandersloot combo, if they're going to go to the same team, if they're going to split up on different teams, if that means that New York is less likely or more likely. I don't know. There's a lot of question marks in the air.
There has been history in the NWSL of couples staying together, so we'll see if that ends up transferring to the WNBA.
As a Liberty fan, I really hope that Courtney Vandersloot comes to New York. But like we said at the top, free agency is really only just getting started here. A big upcoming date to note is this upcoming Saturday, January 21st, which is when players can start to negotiate with any team. Then the next date to know after that January 21st date is Wednesday, Feb 1st, which is when players can officially sign contracts. Some additional big names on the block include Candace Parker. Neko Ogwumike and Emma Mieseman. So there could be even more major shakeups in the days and weeks ahead. And also a quick note on Parker specifically. The 15-year-old vet returned home to Chicago 2 years ago to win a title, but there's a chance that she could head back to LA in what could be another blockbuster deal.
And what's interesting too is that when you think about Candace Parker, like, she's tied to Emma Mieseman, Courtney Vandersloot, and Allie Quigley. So I wonder how much, if one of them moves, do they all move because they're really all with the Sky right now? You know what I mean? They're all in mm-hmm. Chicago. So if I'm someone sitting in Chicago, it's almost like if one piece moves, does that mean the rest of the puzzle drops off too and ends up going to all of these different teams? It's really interesting. And then with Neko Ogwumike, like, she's in LA right now. So if Candace goes, does that mean she's going to sign in LA? Like, there's so many things around the first move and the first player to make that move that could cause others to choose their fate in different ways.
Yeah, and with Sue Bird no longer with the Storm, and with Stewie leaving the Storm, probably.
Maybe.
Who knows? Then does that mean Quigley and Vandersloot are going to go to the Storm?
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. Oh, the rumors. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The rumors are true. Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah. I do want to really, really highlight here how cool it is that we're talking about WNBA free agency and all of these deals going down. The concept of free agency is, of course, a really, really important one across sports. It gives athletes the opportunity to choose where they want to play and to ensure they get paid the way that they want to get paid. You'll often hear the phrase that XYZ player is going to quote unquote test free agency. And that means they're heading out into the open market, hoping to receive a contract that matches and recognizes their on-court performance.
And those ideas definitely hold true for Jonquel Jones. She reportedly specifically requested the trade to New York. Mm-hmm. And another factor in this is the league's new-ish CBA collective bargaining agreement, which they inked in 2020. The salary cap increased 3% from last year, meaning teams have more money to spend to boost their rosters. And it's, you know, it's great for chaos. Mm-hmm. It's great for competition. And it's great to have players play where they want to play. Like, if that's home, if that's moving back to a home state, that's lovely. We love for that to be an option.
And to play, like, to play with who they want to play with. Yeah. There are generational talents within this league. And there are people who specifically want to play with some of their favorite people or some of their best friends. And so you see that a lot in the NBA. And it's starting to be really, really cool to see that in the WNBA too. So it just feels like this new time for the WNBA as we're talking about all of this. And it's just fantastic.
So stay online this Saturday. It's going to get even more fun.
Pow, pow, pow.
Let's flip over to the gridiron, where 8 teams are still in the hunt for Super Bowl glory. Last weekend's wild card round was pretty exciting, with some favored teams falling and proving you can't count anyone out. Mm-hmm. I'm already pumped for this weekend's matchup, so get pumped, stay pumped. It'll be our first chance to see two of the top teams in action this postseason, as both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles take the field after receiving a bye through last week's first round for topping the American Football Conference, or the AFC, and the National Football Conference, or the NFC, respectively.
I loved y'all's playoff preview last Thursday podcast, Steph, with you and Lauren. Kudos. Yeah. I tipped my hat. Made me very excited for last weekend.
Your right Achilles joy.
Yeah, it did.
R.I.P. Call back.
R.I.P., R.I.P. But this weekend, so both of those teams are going to be starting the action on Saturday, with Kansas City hosting the number 4 Jacksonville Jaguars at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. This will be the KC Crew's 14th straight playoff game as the favored team, which is just domination over the last few years. But Jacksonville head coach Doug Peterson boasts a 5-1 record as an underdog in the playoffs, and he very much proved why last weekend when the Jags posted a massive comeback to send the LA Chargers packing. I think it was the third largest comeback in NFL playoff history. Like, at the half, I want to say they were down, don't quote me on this, this is not a note that I have, I think it was 27-0, and then they came back and won, and it was just remarkable and so fun to watch. And Jacksonville did that mostly by relying on their quarterback, 2021 number 1 draft pick Trevor Lawrence, as well as some of their very impactful receivers. So they're really, really, really going to need those players to shine if they want even a chance at all against Kansas City.
I loved the meme that y'all posted on social media. I can't remember what it was calling or like referencing to, but it was like, not gonna lie, you guys had me in the first half.
We love memes.
Oh, I love a meme.
We love talking through memes as Gen Z and millennials. Like, I think that we all can have a conversation with sports with memes. We had outside of sports.
I really need to start less conversations with on TikTok.
Oh my gosh. I read an article, aka watched a TikTok.
Circling back, looping back.
Looping back, circling. And now we're in corporate life.
Kansas City's NFL best offense will be led by 2018 NFL MVP and 2019 Super Bowl MVP quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who honestly needs absolutely no introduction. Also, his sneaker collection needs no introduction at this point. And add in tight end Travis Kelce and the fact that they are managed by one of the NFL's most respected current head coaches, Andy Reid. This KC team is poised for a deep run to yet another ring.
Kansas City is so good, and all of those personalities are so fun. Patrick Mahomes too now has ownership in the NWSL, Kansas City Curran being the first active NFLer to have a stake in an NWSL team. So we gotta love Patty Mahomes for that. Also, Travis Kelce's brother plays for Philly, and his brother was the one that started the Christmas album, which is so fun, right? Like, so we love that. And then Andy Reid, please, everyone, just look out for memes for Andy Reid this weekend. He is unbelievable as just a coach and as a human. And you're going to see a lot of memes and Hawaiian t-shirts out there with Andy Reid. Anyway, let's talk about the second game on Saturday. And this game is featuring two NFC East foes, the NFC number 6 New York Giants, who shocked the number 3 Minnesota Vikings last weekend. And our favorite Christmas carolers, as already mentioned, the top-seeded Philly Eagles at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Philly is the favorite for good reason. They may be the most well-rounded team in the league right now. Offensively, quarterback Jalen Hurts brings it both in the running game and in connecting with all of Philly's stellar receivers. We don't have time to mention all of them, but Devontae Smith is definitely one to watch, and A.J. Brown is another, though he might still be nursing a shoulder sprain, which could impact Philly's offense. So we'll see on that one. Keep an eye out. Luckily, though, if their offense isn't flying, fly Eagles fly, their defense will be. Their defense is really tough, leading the NFL in sacks. So tackling the quarterback before the line of scrimmage and the fewest yards allowed per play. Just very, very cool.
The Giants will be crossing their fingers that Hurts has limitations. Plus, they'll need to continue their late season momentum sparked by quarterback Daniel Jones's improved play. They'll also need running back Saquon Barkley to step up after his truly dismal 28-yard outing against the Eagles in their Week 14 game. If the G-men can rally, this could be tighter than the expected Philly domination.
I do want to say one thing. Like, I know you just kind of chirp Saquon, but he just had, like, an amazing playoff game against the Vikings. So, yes, he didn't do well against Philly, and obviously their defense is stellar, but he is carrying momentum into this game, and I feel like he's someone I'm obsessed with. Saquon, sorry, I should say that, like, he's my favorite running back in the league. He is someone who would study tape and then look back at Week 14 and be like, oh shit, I missed this hole, I did this. So I expect him to actually have a really good showing against Philly. I think I'm putting it out there.
I love when I see in the corner of the video camera of this podcast recording the Burt's Bees in Ellen's hand flagging.
Like, I gotta say something.
Okay, so that was Saturday. On to upcoming Sunday. First up at 3 p.m. Eastern time, the AFC number 3 Cincinnati Bengals visit the number 2 Buffalo Bills, and it could be an emotional start to the game. The Bills were in Cincy less than 3 weeks ago when safety Damar Hamlin collapsed with cardiac arrest, an emergency that suspended the game and made the entire sports world pause.
Thankfully, Hamlin is well on his way to recovery, apparently visiting the facility and his teammates on the daily, but those emotions make these two teams finally playing a full game just mean so much more than football and even playoff football, especially with this being in Buffalo too. That said, this one could go either way. Last week, Steph, the Bills definitely struggled against the number 7 Miami Dolphins, which was admittedly very embarrassing considering Miami's third string quarterback was playing because their first two quarterbacks were out with injury. And so the fact that Buffalo only beat Miami again, I'm doing this off the top of my head, 34-31, is saying something. And I think a lot of people are wondering if the Bills, and especially Josh Allen, have it in them to beat Cincinnati. Josh Allen has been throwing a few too many interceptions, if you ask me. He's had a lot of turnovers in the playoffs, in the one playoff game they've played so far, but also this season. So he needs to stop his turnovers if they're going to remotely have a chance against the Bengals. And to me, that's because Joe Burrow, the quarterback for Cincinnati, is just, he's the it man right now, Steph. I don't know what your TikTok is saying, but people are loving Joe Burrow, both for his good looks, but also for his play, and also for his fashionista style kind of confidence, cockiness. Like, he is the moment. He took Cincinnati all the way to the Super Bowl last year. They didn't win, but he still took them there as a massive underdog. And a huge reason is because he has a wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase, who is literally his best friend and his target from when they played together in college, which is just so cute. So they have this chemistry. I think the key differentiator here, though, if let's say Burrow and Allen are playing pretty evenly, which I think they're actually quite evenly matched, the Bengals O-line is pretty injured, and their O-line is basically those who protect Joe Burrow. And the Bills defensive line is really, really good. So that offensive line who's protecting Joe Burrow needs to do an amazing job if they want to advance to next weekend's conference championships.
Why does Joe Burrow look so much younger than he is? I just like,
he's pretty young.
He's 26. He looks younger than 26.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think he looks, you know what? He could be 24.
Yeah,
but I think,
right?
He looks kind of 26. It's hard in that age. It's hard. I feel like 24 to 28, everyone kind of looks 24.
I remember my nephew when I was in my early 20s, he's like, you look 30.
And you're like, ugh, I could never be 30.
Anywho, back to football. And then wrapping up the divisional round, the number 5 Dallas Cowboys head to San Francisco to take on the number 2 49ers at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. And fun fact, because we love fun facts, this will be the 9th time these teams have faced each other in the playoffs, tying the league record for NFL postseason pairings. So that's fun. Dallas just notched their first road playoff win in almost 30 years, but it wasn't as impressive as it sounds. The Cowboys took down Tampa Bay, and as much as I love Tom Brady in replacement of Ellen, I have to say that. I'm under contract. The AFC South was so bad this year that the Bucs were the only team with a losing record in the playoffs.
Poor Tom Brady, man. Like, he should have gone out on top when he won the Super Bowl a couple of years back. Like, he still would have had a wife, loving family, Super Bowl. I don't know. I get love in sports, but looking back, hindsight's 2020, should have probably pressed pause. It will be a long shot for Dallas to beat San Francisco because San Francisco is absolutely loaded with superstars like George Kittle, running back Christian McCaffrey, and triple threat Deebo Samuel. And as much as Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott played so well against Tampa, it's going to be much harder against a San Francisco defense that's amazing. The hard thing for the Niners, and the very interesting thing, is that third string quarterback Brock Purdy is going to be playing, and he was drafted last in the most recent NFL draft, so he was dubbed Mr. Irrelevant. And earlier this season, he actually played Steph, Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady and became the first rookie quarterback to ever beat Tom Brady during the regular season. And so as much as Brock Purdy is a third string, he's pretty good. And so at San Fran, as much as like Brock Purdy is not Jimmy Garoppolo, they could still beat Dallas, and I think that they should still beat Dallas.
Truly cannot wait to watch all of the action. Who do you have advancing next week, Ellen? Give me your picks.
Do you want all of them? I guess, yeah, I'll give you all of them. Philly.
Okay.
Buffalo.
Nice.
Dallas. And where's that last game? Oh, it was the first game. Oh, Kansas City.
Gorge. Heard it here first, folks.
Gorgy gumdrops. What's yours? Are you going to give it or no?
No, we're just going to move on.
We're going with that. Okay. And with that, that's the end of today's podcast. Mine are the only predictions yet. thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We'll be back with a new episode after this weekend and after all the football next Tuesday. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's pod, we'd love for you to rate, review, and subscribe.
I'm all turned around not having chatted with you earlier in the week. I can't believe it's Thursday.
I know.
This episode was edited by Roche Abdullah, executive produced by Lauren Tuscola and D-Lab, and co-produced by Ellen and myself. Once again, I am Steph Rotz.
And I am Ellen Hislop, and this has been The Gist of It. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, and we'll chat with you Tuesday.